Hey, Grace, this is not the sermon. This is the pre-sermon, because my wife and I were out of town all week in the Outer Banks, just the two of us, had a great time, got back yesterday, but felt compelled to just offer a few words in light of all that's happened this week. While we were away, we heard about George Floyd's death, and our hearts are breaking. And we think about Ahmaud Arbery, we think about all of the pain, the racial unrest, the systemic racism that's plagued our country. We think about today being the 1-year anniversary of the shootings in Virginia Beach, and we see pain and brokenness all around us. And what are we supposed to do? What's the church to do? Let me tell you what we don't do. We don't offer simple answers. We don't try to fix. We don't pretend that we can do anything, but we can obey what the gospel invites us to. And the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 15 says, weep with those who weep. That's what I did as I watched that video from Minneapolis this week. I wept with my brothers and sisters all over the country who were weeping. And I want to invite you into lament and to brokenheartedness. And as we lament and weep, we pray that God will show up and comfort as only He can, because our hope is not in our ability. Our hope is that Jesus will show up, that God will show up and mend hearts and change lives as only He can. And so in the midst of Volunteer Celebration Sunday and all of this fun, I want to lead us to pause, to weep, and to encourage us that it is good and right to weep with those who are hurting. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name, and I do pray that the God of all comfort would comfort us in all of our afflictions, so that we might comfort others with the same hope we have received. We don't have answers or fixes, but we pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Bring justice and righteousness to our world. You are our only hope. Amen. We'll continue with our planned volunteer celebration service. Let me start right off the bat today by saying a huge thank you to all of you who serve in our church week after week after week. You serve on Sundays and Monday nights and Tuesday nights and Wednesdays and Thursday mornings. You serve on Saturday. You serve our city, you serve our community, you serve the world, you serve with kids, you serve with adults, you serve with teenagers. It is incredible what God is doing through you. Some of you love to be in front of people teaching and telling stories. Others of you are behind the scenes, behind a camera, serving a cup of coffee, putting on a green shirt and cleaning something up. But thank you, because through you, God's grace is changing lives, and we want to celebrate that today, and we are not afraid to say thank you to all of you. And as we gather as a church, we gather around this idea of leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the end result of our serving. That's why we're thankful for community group leaders who are helping people to make friendships and learn to apply God's word in their lives so they can have a growing relationship with Jesus. And maybe your circle is on a carpet in Treasure Cove, or maybe it's an amp with a middle school kid. You're leading people in a growing relationship with Jesus. Maybe it's as you're out serving with pin ministries, or you're digging in the garden. That is what we are about. I love that we want to see people have a growing relationship with Jesus. But as much as we love that, if we step back, and if we really just are sort of honest with how we fit with the rest of the churches in our community and in the world, most churches who claim the name of Jesus have a mission that is something like lead people in a growing relationship with Jesus, or to make disciples, or inspire people to follow Jesus. That isn't really unique to Grace Bible Church. But what is unique to Grace? One of the things that I love about our church, I'm guessing one of the things that you love about our church, even if you don't know it, are our core values. See, there are lots of churches that are making disciples and leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus. But the thing that sets us apart, it doesn't make us better than other churches, but the thing that's unique to Grace Bible Church are our core values. Our core values are grace, humility, and teamwork. And in fact, the reason I'm coming to you today from this conference room is that it was about about, oh, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago in this very conference room that we landed on these three core values. See, we realized that as a church, we wanted to be more specific about what God was doing in our church already. These weren't going to be aspirational core values, things we hoped God would do someday. No, no, we said, God, what are you doing right now in our church? And so we talked with staff and elder teams, volunteers, many of you who were here all those years ago. And as we sort of whittled the list down to these three, it was in this very conference room that we realized that what God was doing in our church could be summed up by these ideas of grace, humility, and teamwork. And so in the spirit of teamwork, on this Volunteer Appreciation Sunday, I asked three of my staff friends if they would come and share with you each about one of these three core values. And so for the rest of this message, Ryan Levis, our Norfolk campus pastor, Matt Love, our Lynn Haven student ministry director, and Liz Feldman, our kids director out in Norfolk, they're going to share with you one about grace and then humility and then teamwork. Because we love our mission to lead people in a growing relationship with Jesus, but how we are living this out together is so, so important. So I'm going to let Ryan and Matt and Liz share with you from here, and then I'll be back at the end to wrap it up.
Hey everyone, Ryan Levis here, Norfolk campus pastor at Grace. And the other day I was driving in downtown Norfolk right off Brambleton Avenue. It was a section of Brambleton where all the streets are really close together, and so that means there are a bunch of traffic lights that are all really close together, and there was a car in front of me that was going kind of slow. I'm not sure if they were trying to time the lights or maybe they were trying to save some gas, but I pulled up behind them and I started to go slow myself. I slowed down and then I did what I normally do in this situation, and it's probably what you do as well, but I started to move my foot so that it hovered just over the brake. And I did this so that I could be ready to stop immediately if I needed to. I could see the person in front of me make a sudden change or slow down, and hitting the brake could be my automatic response. I could be ready no matter what happens. Well, in a similar way, at our church, from our staff all the way down through our leaders and our volunteers, we want our foot to be hovering over a certain reaction in different situations. We want this response to be our default response, our default reaction. We want to have this as something that's ingrained in us, that we will be ready to express it at a moment's notice, like our foot is hovering over it, automatic, ready. Well, this automatic response and our first value here at Grace Bible Church is actually grace. And because it's in our name, you may assume that it was an automatic addition or it was included by default. But the more that we discovered our core values over time, and the more that we dug down deep into who we are as a church and as a community, we came to see that this word grace is not just in our name, it's actually woven into our DNA. So what is grace? Well, here at GBC, we would define grace as the goodness and power of God to change anyone's life. It is a gift that God gives us, and it changes everything. Sometimes we think of grace as merely God's forgiveness or his mercy, but this is where grace is actually a much bigger reality. Bigger than the battleship Wisconsin behind me, this massive ship, grace is bigger. It's more than just the absence of punishment. It's actually the presence of God's goodness and favor and love. When God shows us grace, he is choosing to do good towards us and to have his power work through us, even though we are unworthy. It's a concept that shows up all throughout the New Testament, especially in this one famous part from the Apostle Paul, this leader in the early church. He says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." Paul says, there is nothing that you could work for or deserve or that you could do to earn the favor of God. In Christ, it is all gift. Through the cross, it is all grace. We've seen this value of grace define us in a unique way here at Grace Bible Church, and we want to continue to extend God's grace to everyone we come in contact with. We want this to be at work through our staff, all the way down through our members, and especially through our volunteers. We cannot drink deeply of the rivers of God's kindness and then deny a cup of this same kindness to those who are different from us, or who hurt us, or who let us down. It's actually in these scenarios where we see our core values guide us most powerfully. A few years ago, I was at one of Grace's Christmas Eve services, and there was a mom sitting in front of me in the row just ahead. And it was clear that she was frustrated, and it turns out that her teenage son had worn a hat to the service, and she clearly thought it was inappropriate for him to be wearing a hat at this particular time in this environment, and she was clearly frustrated, and he refused to take it off. And so she turned around, I'm not sure why, to ask me for some advice, to vent a little bit. She was really frustrated. What should she do? And again, it's in moments like these where your core values really show up. I have been going with my family to Grace for about 10 years at this point, and so my foot was hovering over this automatic response. I was ready. I knew exactly what to say. Let it go. Let it be. I know you prefer that he would be hatless tonight in this service, but it's really not worth it. We're a church where no one's looking around to see whose sons are dressed appropriately or not. Let this one go. Give him grace. Let him have this one. We're all just broken people trying to figure it out, trying to do our best. I was able, because of this core value of grace, to extend freedom, flexibility, grace. And we love how this value has shaped our community and our church over the years, and we especially love how it puts Jesus and his grace for us on display.
Hey everyone, it is your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man here. You know, when that radioactive spider bit me, it changed my life forever. But as big a change as that was, grace is even bigger. And grace is on full display here in our volunteers at Grace Bible Church. Up next, let's hear about humility with Matt Love.
What's up, Grace Bible Church? My name is Matt. I'm the Lynn Haven Students Director here at Grace. I'm currently sitting in a room in Sunshine Island where if this was a Sunday, there'd be tons of preschool kids running around and there'd be tons of volunteers here serving those preschool kids. And as I sit in this room, I'm kind of hit with a sadness for one, because this is an empty room right now and it could be full of kids and it could be full of volunteers loving on those kids. But I'm also just kind of hit with this sense of awe because I know that while this is an empty room right now, our volunteers are still out there serving those kids, sending them postcards, calling families, praying for their small group, and so much more. And that's not just the case for the volunteers who serve in this room. It's the case for so many of you who serve in Grace in so many different areas. You know, for our volunteers, it's been cool to see that for them, it's not about them. It's not about their preference of coming to serve in their favorite classroom. It's about serving the people that God has called them to serve. It's about putting others first. Pandemic or no pandemic, they're asking the question, how can I put others first? And at Grace, we call that action humility. And it's one of our core values. You know, there's a lot of places throughout the Bible that talk about and define humility, but we really like Philippians 2:3. And that says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Paul, whose life was radically changed by Jesus, wrote this letter to encourage a church in Philippi. And he says, humility is about a shift in interests. It's about shifting from being all about my interests and being all about myself and what I'm going to get out of something to being interested in what I can do for others. Instead of trying to take, humility is all about what can I give. Here's why humility is so important in the work that we do here at Grace specifically. Benjamin Franklin said it this way, a man wrapped up in himself makes a very small bundle. When we're constantly wrapped up in our own interests, the difference we can make is limited. Our influence starts and stops and ends with us. We can't go beyond ourselves. But when we wrap ourselves in the interests of others and we think outwardly, even above our own interests, our influence begins to grow and the difference we can make begins to grow. You know, when it comes to volunteering, specifically here at Grace, it means asking not what can I get out of this for me, but what can I give to others? And don't get me wrong, You get so much when you serve here at Grace. We hear time and time again that our volunteers love serving because it makes them better. But if you go up to any volunteer and ask them why they serve, that won't be the answer. That won't be the answer. Our volunteers serve because they want to give. They want to put others ahead of themselves. And because our volunteers give, they model humility. And because they model humility, lives are changed. Humility in a volunteer is the difference between, let me think of a few examples, like a high school student having a random adult showing up to lead a Bible study every week and then never talking to them ever again, and a high school student who has a caring adult who models Jesus for them every day. Humility is the difference between a musician on one of our worship teams who is only excited about the solo they get in song 3, and a musician who plays every moment with the idea of how can I make everyone else sound better so that people can meet Jesus in this song. Humility is the difference between a community group leader who gets excited about inviting everyone over to their living room so they can hear how wise and amazing they are and give a mini sermon, and a community group leader who talks less and listens more so people can be heard. It's the difference between a recovery group leader who says, look at me, look at all my hurts, habits, and hangups, look at what I've been through, and ignores everyone else, and a community group leader or a recovery group leader who creates a space for everyone to heal from their hurts, habits, and hangups. It's the difference between the local outreach volunteer who just goes to, you know, get their hours in, their weekly good person activity, and a volunteer who shows up at a local school every week and says, what can I do? Even if it's sharpening pencils for 2 hours. Humility is the key. And it's why our volunteers are so great and their influence is so wide. And the difference that they're making is so massive because they show up daily, weekly, and sometimes hourly with the heart, not to be made famous, but to make a difference. You know, this is a core value for us because it's something we all want to learn. Not just volunteers. Our volunteers do this so well, but it's something we want to model every day, whether we're volunteering or you're learning to homeschool your kids for the first time or your spouse is driving you crazy because this is the most time you've ever spent with them. This is something we want to model like every person in every moment of their life. That's what we want to strive towards. It's something we want to learn to do every moment of every day. So in this season, where nothing is how you would want it, nothing's how I would want it, how can we as a church submit our interests to God and put the needs of others above our own? Now, I think it has to do with trusting God, honestly. Trusting a God who laid down his life for us so we could have eternal life with him, by the way. Trusting that because of what Jesus did on the cross for us, that he loves and cares about our interests, that our interests are on his mind. And as we work on giving him more and more trust, we begin to become less and less concerned with ourselves and focus more and more on giving to others. So for you, who are the people around you? Even if it's just your family, or maybe it's someone who's just a phone call away, what are their interests? What are their needs? And what can you do about it?
Hey everybody, my name is Liz Feldman, and as Eric said, I am the Norfolk Campus Kids Director. Many of you may know my husband, Michael Feldman. He is our Connections Pastor. And I'm sure a few of you have seen our 2-year-old son, Wyatt, running around at both campuses. I am so excited to share with you today my thoughts on my favorite core value of ours, teamwork. In this season of stay at home, stay safe, shelter in place, I'm sure many of you have experienced what we have experienced, which is a lot of time with our families. And that can come with its own challenges and frustrations, but it can also come, I've found, with a lot of joy and fun, laughter, and quality time spent together. If you serve on a team at Grace, you would know that similar feelings come from serving. Serving on a team comes with its own challenges, but it also comes with a deep feeling of joy and connectedness as we come together in unity to accomplish something greater than ourselves. At the Norfolk campus, we've moved from our old building into a new building, and I have grown so much closer to those volunteers who showed up to help us pack and move. These are the same volunteers I work with on Sundays, and they are the ones who say to our team, "You guys are my community. You are my church family." These volunteers understand that deep feeling of connectedness that comes with serving on a team. Maybe you don't serve on a team, but you know this feeling from other groups. Maybe your community group, or the step study that you were a part of at CR, or even going on a serve and learn trip. In their own ways, each of these ministries embody this core value of teamwork, believing that we can do more together than we could do alone. The passage that Grace chose for this core value is 1 Corinthians 12:14. We'll read the passage together, backing up just a few verses so we can get some context. So this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 14. "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many." The passage goes on to talk about how just because a foot isn't a hand, it doesn't make it unimportant to the body. The point is this: just like each of the individual parts of our body come together to accomplish so much more than they could do on their own, so God has given us the opportunity to come together in unity to accomplish something greater than ourselves, our own individual wants and desires. This is the one thing that I want you to hear from me today. When you join a team, you become a part of something bigger than yourself. When we join a team, we become a part of something bigger than ourselves. That's one of the reasons I love serving. When I serve on a team, I serve with all different kinds of people: loud people, quiet people, big dreamers, practical thinkers. I serve with people of all different races and ethnicities, and we are all coming together to accomplish one shared mission. At CR, I've met people from all different walks of life, and I've learned from their life experience. In my community group, I've grown deeper and deeper in trust with the people who surround me, and together we have grown. And all of this happens because God has designed us to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. And isn't this something our whole world needs to hear right now? That people who are different, who think different, who look different, who act differently, that these people can come together in unity to accomplish something greater? This is something the world needs to hear from us, and we communicate it by living it out, by joining teams, by joining groups. When you join a team, you become a part of something bigger than yourself. Teamwork really does make the dream work.
I may know a thing or two about being on a team. You may have heard of us, the Avengers. Yeah, kind of famous. We may have saved the world a few times here or there. No big deal. But what is a big deal is that our volunteers are a part of a team that helps change lives. You're the real superheroes.
Well, a big thanks to Ryan and Matt and Liz for sharing with us today. And here's the one question I want to leave you with, the question that maybe you could discuss with the people you might be watching this service with, people that maybe you're in a community group with on a Zoom call this week. Here's the one question. How can you be living out grace, humility, and teamwork in your daily life? How can you be living out grace, humility, and teamwork? Because this isn't just how we want to relate together in our church. This is what Jesus is doing with us. And when I live out grace, humility, and teamwork at work, when you live it out at work, you are sharing the love of Jesus in a practical way. When we exhibit these values in our homes and with our friends, God is at work through us. So how can you live those out in your daily life this week? That's the question for you to discuss. Have a great week. All right, let's be honest. Same day, same shirt, different location. I came into my office because I wanted to tell you about the Story of Hope. It's a brand new series. We're starting next Sunday, June 7th, but here's the deal. School is almost out, but you are getting homework. That's right. School is almost out, but you are getting homework. And here's your homework. Every week this summer, before you watch the service, I want to ask you, will you sit down with your family, with your community group, with your roommates, with some friends on a Zoom call, however you want to do it? And will you go over the passage that we are going to address each week in our Sunday service? We're going to start in Genesis, go all the way through to Revelation. We're going to see the whole story of hope. But before you hear what I might have to say or what Ryan might have to say about the passage, I would love for you to grab your kids around the dinner table, open up your paper Bible, and look at the passage. We have a study guide prepared for you. It is going to make it very easy. You can't do it wrong. The key, I'll tell you, here's the key. Lower the bar. Low expectations. We were sort of testing this out, and I did the Genesis one with my family a couple weeks ago. It was just short of a mutiny. It wasn't a full mutiny. It was just short of a mutiny. But you know what? That's the way it goes sometimes. So take the time, take the challenge, engage with the scripture text before the service on Sunday. I promise God will bring all of us hope as we do this together. The Story of Hope starts this Sunday, June 7th.